Welcome to Take the Red Pill,
where we explore the realities within our reality.
We are your hosts, David Deere
and Donald Dalton.
This episode, we are going to kind of take a tailing from the last episode. Last episode, we talked a lot about food and the vibrations of different foods and how they affect us on an individual level. So we're going to kind of carry that whole idea and talk about our own personal vibrations and how they affect the world in general, or things in the world, and how things in the world and things outside of us affect their vibrations, how they affect our vibrations. How do you like that?
I like it a lot.
Yeah. You want to go ahead and kind of roll into it, Donald? Do you have anything on the top of your brain as far as this goes?
For me, I think it was just we ended the last episode, I think episode 71, where we were talking about food and the energy and the vibrations of food affecting us, and we disagreed quite a bit, and I was like, oh, this is fun. We should continue that conversation. At the end of that episode, you mentioned, well, why not we have an episode where we talk about vibrations of stuff that affect us and how our vibrations affect others, and, you know, where there's harmony and disharmony and stuff like that. So I was like, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And I think this topic lends itself to a lot of different areas, because I want to avoid going back to food at the moment and rehashing a lot of the end of our last episode. But at the same time, I want to, you know, get started where, hey, vibrations, we all have them. Sometimes they work with, sometimes they don't. Sometimes
we are them, actually.
Yeah, I heard myself talking. I'm like, Donald, what are you talking about? I started to go off the ledge again. But for me, one of the biggest things is vibrations, where the way we vibrate with others, and especially the first time we meet somebody. You know, they say that the first impression is that concretes basically the whole relationship for the most part. The vibrations that we have, what we bring into that first few seconds of meeting somebody, I think is enormous. And I think that it takes a lot to overcome any kind of negative first impressions with what we're talking about. Because, you know, I think we've all met some people where the moment we meet them, we're like, ah, we don't like them. And it's like, why don't we like them? And there are other people we meet and it's instant rapport. It's instant, you're like, hey, these people are cool. And to me, this is kind of a harmonious meeting of each other's vibrations, or a disharmonious meeting of each other's vibrations. So that's kind of where I'm starting it off at.
Okay. Now, do you think that can change? Do you think that when you meet somebody and let's say that you meet somebody and there's kind of an off resonance between you and the person you're meeting for the first time, do you think there could be that it could be a vibration carried by, say, something that happened earlier in the person's day, that they may be resonating a certain way and you just clash it? Or do you think it's a whole overall vibrational signature that person has and that you have? Or what would you say about that?
I agree with what you just said. It could be a number of those. And to me, I kind of take a more pragmatic look of, well, whatever it is in the first 30 seconds of meeting somebody, you make your initial thoughts on how you feel about that person. So even if it was they got off the phone with an argument with a family member, you know, 2-3 minutes before you met them, and they're still holding that anger and everything, or if it's they're constantly an angry person and they're always upset at something, in that when you meet them for that first time, that first 30 seconds, it's going to have a very similar effect regardless. Now, can you overcome that? I believe you can. I definitely believe you can, because I believe a lot of people give leeway here and there for to have people present more than the first 30 seconds of introductions, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, so when you first meet somebody, it's like, oh, hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm pretty good. What's your name? Oh, I'm so-and-so. How do you know Bill? Oh, I know Bill because I'm so-and-so. And it's like, okay, cool. We have our initial meeting, and so far it's so good. Now let's see what happens in the next 30 to 40 minutes. At that point, then we'll definitely have a better idea of whether we want to continue meeting this person or not.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Do you think you have to be meeting a person in person to be able to pick up on vibrational frequency, or for one vibrational frequency to kind of connect with another and match?
Oh, heck no.
You think it could be done like distantly, for example?
There were times where I was reading, doing divination for emails. You can read pretty much the energy that the person had when they were writing that email. It's a little more difficult than reading for someone that you're sitting right across, or someone that you're talking to or on a telephone or something like that, but it's definitely possible. And I believe that you can totally have a reaction to somebody through in that way.
And so why is that then? Let's say, for example, you hit a bell.
Okay.
And the bell actually has a vibrational sound frequency that you can hear, right?
Mm-hmm.
To really appreciate the sound of that bell, you're saying that you could have a recording of that bell and still appreciate the sound of the bell,
mm-hmm.
and not lose anything. That's what you're telling me? I mean, it's because what I'm saying here is that there's a lot of things that are stripped away in, like, say, an email communication. Say you're doing a divination via email, then you're looking at the thing that the person's telling you, or they're looking at the thing that you're telling them, and you say that you kind of get a vibrational resonance or feel from the words that are coming through on the page or on the screen. But there's things missing. Like, for example, they're typing, they're writing words, so there's no timbre in their voice that you can gauge by. There's no facial expressions or body language, and there's no aura that's present there on that page. So is there something to be said for not having the complete vibrational frequency of the person in the present, in live, as it were, or right next to each other?
Are you saying it's impossible, or
no? I'm asking.
What are you saying exactly?
What are you getting at here, man?
Yeah, exactly. What are you asking?
What are you talking about? What I'm asking you is, you said, sure, I believe that I can pick up on, or that people can get a sense of somebody on a vibrational level.
Oh yeah,
if they're not in person. But I'm saying that are you getting an abbreviated version of that, because you're only getting the pen and paper, for example. Look at two pictures. One is of a boat on a stormy water, and one is a flower in a meadow of a bunch of other flowers. Each of those have their own vibration, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Or they elicit a vibration within us. So what I'm saying is that without seeing a picture of the person or seeing the person in general, if you're only getting words on a page, are you missing that aspect of their vibration to really get a full picture of how you might be connecting with them? Are you only connecting on a part, on just a piece of it?
Well, yeah, you're only getting the information that you can pick up from that piece, and it's not complete in any sense of the imagination. You've said numerous times that you like to give examples of extremes. So let me give you a counterexample of an extreme, where if you've known somebody for years and years and years, and you know them really well, but can you really fully know them? And do you really fully need to know them to be able to do divination, to offer constructive criticism or advice or anything like that? So the energy is there. You have and with the person that you know very well, then you're able to have the history from all the history of the past interactions and experiences with somebody new, where you're just seeing words on a page. Sure, you don't have that history, and there's a lot of information that you do not have, but there's still energy that is coming through there. When I was doing email readings, I call it windowing, or basically what I did is I windowed my screen to And the back, I imagined the back of the screen, the person was there, and they were typing at that moment, which basically was basically putting my energy back into the very moment when they were typing. Well, what this did for me is it gave me more of a complete picture than just the words and how they were written. It gave a, it gave more of a glow, a tone, an aura. It gave, you used the bell earlier. It's like the bell sounded a certain way. I think for a lot of people that do readings like that, that they do something similar. How well was I connecting to them without talking to them? I can't verify that or anything like that.
I have some references if you want.
Oh, go ahead.
I have, yeah. There's Shirley. Shirley was like, yeah, he was, I think he was eating a sandwich when he did my reading, and I don't think he really read me very well. So,
those were my punk rock days, right?
Punk rock?
Yeah, it's like...
You associate sandwiches to punk rock?
No. Because there were a time, man, when I was doing music and metaphysics because I was just that talented, man.
You're doing music, metaphysics.
Metaphysics. Metamusic.
I do understand what you're saying. What you're saying is it's almost like it's contextual, as it were.
Yeah, it's...
You're saying that it's based on the particular context of what's going on in the moment. And you know what? I want to kind of segue from that with what you just said.
Okay.
Because we tend to emit specific vibrations or frequencies based on a context of a moment. Like, for example, when a person says, I want to know if I'm going to meet... Everybody's favorite question when they get divination is, when am I going to meet the man of my dreams? Or when am I going to meet the woman of my dreams? Et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, no. If you've done divination, have you ever heard that one? Maybe twice. I don't know. But nonetheless, that's a very popular question. I know that I've wanted to know that at points in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're putting out a particular frequency. The frequency you're putting out there is a frequency of really wanting to be with a person who you feel is your match on either a soul mate level or a romantic level or whatever, or life partner level, whatever it is. You're not putting out there, am I going to make $100, you know, an extra $100 so I can pay my rent. You're not putting that out there, so that's not going out there, which is kind of, I say that interestingly enough, it's because I, you remember Sean who was on the Twin Flames?
Oh, yeah.
From Twin Flames Radio, Sean Michael, who... They were a guest on the show, he and Debbie.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he and I had a conversation about doing readings, and he says that he likes to get specifics. He doesn't like when people say, give me a general reading, because, and interestingly enough, I think this is an interesting way, especially those of us who are intuitives or do intuitive readings, pick up on vibrations. He, not only does he like to have general readings, but he actually prefers live, either by voice or in person, readings, where me very much love general readings more than specific questions. And I also like, much like you, I like the email readings.
I have a definite preference for in person and voice as well. I'm just saying I can do email readings.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It's just a venue for you. But where I was going with that is that when he was talking about doing readings, as far as he doesn't like the general reading, I like the general reading because I feel like that person can put aside whatever's in forefront of their mind and their vibration of what really is going on in their life comes through. I want to talk a little bit about, like, when you're talking about people meeting,
mm-hmm.
and you pick up on their vibration, and when you miss your mash, some people are so attuned to that, like Jackie. Jackie is, to me, is marvelous with first impressions. And actually, this is an interesting little profile I want to put out here. Jackie's great with first impressions. She just gets the sense of a person right out of the gate, and she likes them or she doesn't. Not that she doesn't give them a chance, but if she gets a weird vibe from them, she's pretty cautious.
Mm-hmm.
And in most cases, she's been spot on, and she's been right to be cautious. Other cases, she just clicks with somebody, and there you go. Now, I think often... most of us have the ability to read, allow our vibrations, but I think sometimes our vibrations determine things. Like if talking about food, if a food is good for us or if it's not. But I also think that we override our vibrational sensors.
Oh,
sometimes
yeah.
We have a hope of how a scenario will turn out, One example I'm going to use here is we started. Are you familiar with the documentary Catfish?
No.
The short of it is it's a documentary about people who meet other people on the internet, and the person that they meet is not who they say they are.
Oh.
And Jackie and I are, for us personally, we were like, are there red flags that are going off? And they're just silencing them. Like when a car alarm goes off, how many people are like, eh, and they roll over and go to sleep? But it's an alarm. And I think that we each have vibrational alarms that go off. And sometimes if there's something we want as an outcome, we'll silence that alarm.
Yeah, wearing blinders.
Right, exactly. And there was a case where Jackie did meet somebody and she wanted to like the person so much that she met that her sensors were off and mine were on. And I said, yeah, I don't know about this person. She's like, oh, well, I do, da-da-da-da-da. And then it turned out that there were things that kind of came up later that surprised her a little bit. So I think that sometimes the and I think not to get stuck on food, but I think sometimes we eat foods that are bad for us because we love the taste of them. We either don't care what it's going to do to us later, or we create the vibrational shutoff to where we don't even regard what it's that there is that this food is having a negative effect when we can just kind of look at it intuitively.
Yeah, we do that with people and things as well. I mean, that's the basics of addiction, whether it's TV or drugs or alcohol or whatever. I mean, for me personally, I don't have great sensor or great sensors like Jackie does for determining if people are good match for my vibration or not. I've said in the past, I'm kind of like a puppy dog when I meet somebody new. I'm kind of like, hey, how are you? Who are you? What's your story? What's going on? What's new? What's new with you? And it's not until later when I start, you know, thinking back to our conversations that I've had with people that's like, oh, okay, so they did that and they did that and they did that. Well, maybe that's just the way they are. Well, okay, I can allow them to be that way if that's the way they are. And there have been times where it has gotten me into some very uncomfortable predicaments, some very uncomfortable situations. On the other hand, there's times where it has gotten me into situations that were really, really awesome that I would not have taken the opportunity to have because I would have had some kind of preconceived notion of what this person was or who they were or how we would interact with each other down the line, and I would shut it off right there. So for me, it's very interesting, especially with people, because it takes a while for me to figure people out.
Can people's vibration affect your vibrations easily, or is it difficult for theirs to affect yours, to shift your vibration, say emotionally, for example?
You're talking to an empath here, dude, David.
No, that doesn't matter. There's a lot of empaths that have learned very well to protect themselves and shield themselves.
It's taken me a while. It's taken me a long time to learn how to do that. I have learned to not to focus more so on the environment that I'm in, more so than the people that are in the environment, because that seems to help a lot more with avoiding having one person's energy or affect me negatively or whatnot. It doesn't always happen. Sometimes I get into the moment and I focus and I get really just really tuned in with the person that I'm talking with or a few people that I'm talking with. I definitely feel the tone of the room, of where the environment that I'm in. I definitely feel that the majority of people that are in there, that's actually one of the exercises I do for learning how to have more control over my empathy, is when I will go to some place that's crowded, maybe not a mall or a concert, but you know, like a restaurant or a coffee shop or someplace like that, and I will sit down and I will become, well, I will become more tuned into my awareness or to my environment and to the people around me. It's very interesting because within just a minute or two, without even looking, I can feel where the people are, and I can be like, oh, that's a woman. That person is having issues like this and stuff like that, and they're talking to this person over here. Oh, they'll be later this afternoon. They'll be with this person, which will have a positive effect on them this way. And I'll actually be reading people in their timelines for just a short amount of time. And what I found that does is it helps me to have more control with the information that's coming in, instead of in the past where it's just all flooded in all the time. That has helped enormously in a lot of ways. So,
well, but what about how it affects you, though? How it actually shifts your own vibration?
Well, the thing is, if I don't feel like it's part of my stuff, then I'm able to very easily let it go. It affects my vibration when I'm there, but I'm able to let it go quickly instead of hold on to it for weeks or months at a time. And okay. It's kind of like, how does dirt affect your body? Well, if you don't bathe for a few days, then you start getting all grimy and oily, and then you take a shower or a bath, and all of a sudden you feel good again. And it's kind of like that, where it's an energetic cleansing, where when I'm back in my, home, in my comfort zone, in my safe place that's neutral to me, then I can actually see, okay, I know how I felt when I left, and I know how I feel now. Is there a contrast? How different is it? Do I have any thoughts or emotions or ideas that are coming up right now? Through a lot of practice, I've learned to be able to very quickly and specifically go, oh, this thought, this thought, this thought, this thought, this emotion is not mine, these are not mine, okay, and let it go. And it seems to work fairly well.
What about inanimate objects, things like crystals? Are you sensitive to like the different vibrations of either different crystals or different colors or different materials?
I am extremely sensitive to velvet and corduroy.
Sensitive how?
Since I was very young, the moment I touched them, and thermal underwear. I don't know what it is, but these textures, whenever I touch them, it's like somebody scratching, having really long fingernails, scratching them down a chalkboard. It has that same physical, mental reaction to me when I touch them.
Oh, geez. I was going to send you a pair of velvet corduroy thermal underwear
for
Valentine's Day, and I guess I'll have to return them.
That would be extreme torture.
So, like, the velvet rope really is effective for you.
What's that?
You know, like when they're queuing up. Like if you're you're in line for something, and then they have those velvet ropes with the stands. So those are great for you. That's kind of like your kryptonite.
Yeah, I don't touch those.
Okay, wow.
Now the cool thing is, it used to be overwhelming sensory overload until I was in my mid-20s, and then it started to diminish a little bit. I can handle it right now. I don't get so overwhelmed by it right now. But at the same time, it's still there.
Interesting.
But yeah, and up until I was about 25, 26, 27 years old, any of those three textures, touched it or felt it against my skin or even thought about touching it, I would break out in goosebumps and chills would go up my spine, and my hairs would stand on end. I would just be like,
wow, okay.
And
interesting.
Freaked my family out because, I was 3 years old, and they're like, you're old enough to wear thermal underwear now. And I put it on, I'm like, take it off, wow. Take it off, take it off, take it off. I'm like, what's wrong? And like, it's not good. How can a 3-year old tell their parents, this is having some really bad effects on me, on my skin and everything? And, so for what?
That's what I think food allergies are about. I think I think they're vibrational clashes. I think that's why when people go into anaphylactic shock or get hives or something like that from eating a certain type of food, I think there's a vibrational mismatch or a vibrational dissonance. More, I think that's a better word.
That would be kind of an intense vibrational dissonance right there, wouldn't it?
Well, I think if you were probably ingesting something that was akin to corduroy, I'm not trying to be funny.
I know.
And yet you laugh. I told you I was not trying to be funny, and you laughed. And now you're laughing more. Come on, man.
I find you amusing. What can I say?
Well, you know, in all seriousness, if you actually, if there was a food, like for example, I wonder if, do you like kiwi?
It's okay.
Now, could you eat the skin of kiwi? It reminds me of velvet in a way, just that kind of fuzziness, soft fuzziness.
Yeah, it's fine. Picking up a kiwi, it's fine. It doesn't have that same reaction.
Oh, okay. If you think about it, if we are just walking vibration is all we are, if everything that is solid matter are these atoms that are spinning at certain vibrational frequencies, we and actually most physical material and then non-physical material included is a symphony of all sorts of vibrations. So then when we eat a food, that particular food starts breaking down into different vibrations and the frequencies start to change. And eventually I wonder if there's a frequency that all of a sudden starts to become dissonant with the frequencies that we are at. I mean, if you think about it, the body is chi. Chi is the idea of a flow of energy. If something has a particular flow, something can flow in a different direction and cause, you know, like a smash or a wave or I'm thinking like a wave crashing against a rock, for example, or two ships smashing into each other.
Yeah, kind of like if you switch the directions of stuff and you don't tell the molecules in there, it's like in America we drive on the right side of the road, but if all of a sudden we were shanghaied and drugged and knocked out and then put on some street somewhere in Europe, we would instantly start moving to the right side of the road, and that would cause some serious disharmony with the other.
Exactly. Travelers. It's like the note that shatters the glass. I mean, those are frequencies that there's the molecular shape and structure of the wine glass. Mm-hmm. There's the particular note that's creating a vibration in the glass. I mean, we can run our finger around the rim of a glass and get a nice, pretty note. But then what happens when we get this material and this note together, all of a sudden we have the glass shattering. Those are two vibrations that are counter-reactionary, I guess it were. So I'm wondering if food allergies and things like that, and I wonder if, same thing with that's what's happening when we don't care for a person, is their particular frequency. And then let's take this another step.
Okay.
Let's go back into the archives of Take the Red Pill. And say that what if when we meet a person that there is a certain dissonance with them vibrationally, because if we were to create some kind of any kind of relationship or interaction with them on any significance, it's like an alarm system saying this person could potentially veer you off of what you're here to experience.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, let me just restate what I think you're saying, and you tell me if I'm correct or way off the mark. You're going back to, I think, the Past Lives episode where we were talking about before we incarnate, we do a lot of setting up of what we want to accomplish, people that we want to meet and that can help us and whatnot. And what you're saying is, what if we're also setting up people that we should avoid? If the course of our lives have us meet these people, it's like an instant oil and water. It's just a really bad reaction, so that we do not develop a relationship with these people, so that, because if we had, then we'd be taken off course from anything that we wanted to accomplish, and we'd be in a completely different area, and it'd be like,
I agree with you. I'd say experience rather than accomplish, because, you know, I kind of like a specific, you know, lexicon with these kind of conversations. But let's take this for an example. It's like, and what I want to clarify is that doesn't mean that whether or not somebody's good or bad for you.
Oh, yeah.
Because I do believe that there is a person that you have a soul agreement with, and they say, you know, I'm here to help you achieve a certain experience. And it's not a great experience as far as on the earth realm goes. So when people say, you know, are you sure you want to get involved with that girl? She's not very good for you. Or that guy, because he's kind of a dick. And you're saying, oh, she's fine to me, or he's fine to me. And your alarms are not going off. Maybe there are no alarms in that scenario. Maybe it's you going into an environment with this guy who robs a bank, and then you get framed, and then you're the one who has to do time because that was a life experience that you came in to have. So that's where a vibration actually does match, where you do find yourself drawn to this person vibrationally, where other people might, who are kind of, say, on the straight and narrow, might get a vibe from that person that kind of clashes.
Yeah, that happened with my last girlfriend back when we first met a few years ago. There was a holiday party or some kind of get together, and you know, I brought her so that she could meet the people that I hang around with, and it was very interesting because a few months later we broke up, and there were people even there at that party where they're like, so, how to put this gently? I don't see how you all are working, because I am getting a very not so good vibe from your girlfriend. And I'm like, yeah, sometimes she's in a good mood, sometimes she not. And so, you know, that could have been me putting on my blinders and whatnot. And I found it very interesting that basically what you're describing a moment ago is exactly what was happening at that party.
Oh,
I mean, to the T. Because I was sitting there going, hey, everybody, this is my girlfriend that I've been talking about. Isn't she wonderful? And
okay,
everyone was...
just for the audience's sake, I'm going to let people know I've never met that girlfriend. I did not know this story. I don't know what happens. I tend to do this whole thing psychically with you, like the whole thing with the spleen. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where
I don't have
I
a
was
spleen.
Sitting there talking about, oh, yeah, you lose a spleen. All of a sudden it gets real quiet and you're like, I don't have a spleen, David. And I'm like, oh, boy, is my face wet. So, anyway, so this really did happen to you.
Exactly.
Huh?
I mean,
you had people saying no, no, no.
Yeah, I mean, one of our friends, one of our mutual friends from that group, you know, was an astrologer, and he had done our charts, and he had them there that night, and you know, he's just like, well, there's some good things. There's some, well, okay, you have to really look for the good things, but they are there. You know, trying to be as complimentary as possible. Basically what he was saying is, oh dude, seriously, run. You know, this is a perfect relationship that is a perfect storm of not happiness in the future. It does not end well. There is very few outcomes where this relationship turns out good. Very few. And this was the same party where it was the one and only time that I actually met Jackie face to face.
Jackie, my Jackie?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Well, then I would have been at this party.
Yes, you were.
I didn't realize you brought a date.
It was very crowded. I remember it was a very crowded place. And so I think my girlfriend was either in the bathroom or in the kitchen or somewhere. This was held at, you know, a friend's house or somewhere else. And I think you and Jackie were popping in just to make an appearance. And so you walked in and you barely got, you know, a few feet into the door, and you're just sitting there. And Jackie did not look like she was having a good time.
If it's the same place I was thinking of, we were there for a while, so I don't know if that was the same or not.
Yeah, I think y'all stayed for maybe half an hour, 45 minutes at the most.
Yeah, that's about how much we can do party-wise.
So, but yeah, so she was there, and there were other people that were, you know, literally saying, okay, like I said, the scenario that you had mentioned earlier where, you know, you are sitting there going, I don't see any disharmony with this person, but everybody around you is going, oh, dude, seriously, end, stop, turn around, you know. That is word for word what was going on in this party, and I just was like, are you pulling up that information from me, or is this one of these things that, you know, you just pick up on every so often? And it's like, yeah, it's probably David just picking up on things that he picks up on every so often. Hey, Donald, you know that really stressful time that you had at that moment that I don't even know about? Yeah, I'm going to use it as an example for a podcast. Okay, sure, why not?
Well, to steer this a little bit, do you think that we can actually shift vibrations in things? And to what degree can we?
Basically, can we make kryptonite not bother Superman?
Well, that's probably an extreme example, but I would say that within the confines of our current human experience, do you believe that we can actually change the vibrational frequency of things? I mean, there's people like, for example, who bless their food. Is blessing food changing a vibrational frequency of that food?
Oh, see, when you want to talk about the mechanics of energy, of blessing food, I have some interesting ideas there.
Let's hear it. We're going to go into food a little bit now again.
Which is fine. Which is fine.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
We only spent a few minutes on it last time.
That's true, yeah.
And we could have definitely explored it much
and
further.
And I'm probably 10 pounds heavier than, so I have a little bit more interest in it than when we discussed it last.
Yeah, because I think we recorded that, you know, back before the holidays, and this is our first episode post-holiday-ish time.
Now, there you go. We better talk about it now, because next episode I'm going to be 10 pounds lighter.
Yeah.
So.
Well, so okay.
I won't have as much interest in, you know, food. I'm like, yeah, that was so 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Okay. What is the purpose, or what is the reason that people bless their food? Anybody, anywhere. Why would anybody ever bless their food? What's the purpose?
Well, it depends. I mean, if you ask me, my answer is probably going to be a lot different. A lot of people bless their food. When the people I know that bless their food, they're basically giving thanks for that food.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm doing when I bless my food.
One of the other reasons I've heard for why people bless their food is so that it will, you know, sustain them. It'll give them nutrients. It's like, thank you for the food. May it nourish our bodies. Let it, and so on and so forth. That whole thing. And for me, it's like, okay, so we're giving thanks for the food. That's cool. The nourishing our bodies part, the mental stuff going on there. First off, you're basically programming your body in every cell. You're saying, okay, we're about to ingest food. Now, we are happy that we're able to eat. So it's a good thing. And it's almost like, you know, talking to a child where you're telling your body, you're going to like what we're going to feed you. You're going to be able to use it. You're going to be happy with it. And then, you know, and that's why I think some people tack on the may provide us healthy and health and nutrition, stuff like that. Well, that second part, that's basically telling your body and programming your body and your whole energy to say, okay, we're not only thankful for this food, but it's going to help us continue to live. And what's happening there, that's what's happening with the body, but you're also putting your intention, you're putting energy, you're putting thought towards your plate, towards whatever meal you're eating. You're putting positive thought towards it. So,
and how effective is that? To what degree can you bless food and have that food be safe to eat or nutritious, however you want to look at it?
To be safe to eat, that
doesn't it depend on what you're eating?
I think it depends a lot on how that food is going to vibe with you to begin with. Because, okay, for me, my body does not like Thai food.
Mm-hmm.
My body probably rejects Thai food more than your body rejects bacon. it's not happy with it. So I could sit there and bless the food probably for a long time, and
vibrational dissonance.
Yeah, and if my blessing of the food is not strong enough to either change my body's vibration to allow to be harmonious with the food I'm about to ingest, or change the food to be harmonious with the vibration of my body, then yeah, it's not going to be a pretty sight.
Okay. Now, do you believe that you can either bless it or shift its vibration through intention enough to be able to process it?
That's a tough question.
Well, I shouldn't say, do you believe you can? I should say, are you capable of doing that at this point in time?
I have never tried.
Oh, okay. Would you be willing to try? That's the, when it comes to food, it's a tricky thing because a lot of people don't want their system to go upside down just to do an experiment.
Yeah. We would have to set it up like very scientific, like, okay, you have, well, let's find a food that you do not vibrate very well with, that you do not resonate well with, and then you'll have to see where you are mentally, emotionally, and physically every time you eat it, because stress does not help with digestion at all.
No, you're right about that. Stress is really bad for digestion. In fact, the stomach is where we carry all the chi energy from overthinking.
Yeah. If you try it one time and have really bad reaction, and then you try it again when you're not stressed out and you have no reaction, then it's like, oh, it was stress. This is one of these things. This is one of those items that it has to have a warm, safe place, and it's very sensitive to any kind of stress when I eat it. And
well, but the Thai food is I'm certain you've eaten that in cases where you weren't stressed. I think with the Thai food has a particular frequency, a vibration, that is just dissonant with yours. You could probably bless it all day long and probably get it to be fine. But how much work are you making your body do that for it to be adaptable when it's not the only food source that you have to survive on?
Yeah.
and you're not compelled to eat it because you have nothing else.
Yeah. Well, see, there you go, variety.
Well, no, I'm talking more. I'm not talking just about variety. What I'm talking about is that I do believe for me and pork, and for you and Thai food, whatever it is in the Thai food, there is a vibration to it that is very dissonant to your personal vibration. And there's a reason. Well, there's not a reason for that. It's just the way it is. I think you could bless it all day long, but eventually it's going to tell on you. That's my belief.
So, yeah, to answer your question, and like I said, it's a very difficult question. Can you bless or change the vibration of your food or your body to work with food that you naturally have a dissonance with? I'm going to say it's possible, but very extremely difficult, if possible at all. Because I want to leave that one little door open, that one little...
Yeah, sure.
Because people do amazing things, and amazing things happen all the time. So I don't want to go across the board and say, no, it cannot happen. Because the moment you say that, somebody somewhere will do it.
Well, yeah, and it's true. Anything is possible, and I like to say that. However, how much are you in flow when you're sitting there just fighting and using every ounce of your energy just to make something easy for you, your system to process when you don't have to?
Exactly.
So I think that's kind of where I'm going with that. I think it's the same thing with the whole idea is if there are, and I'm not going to use the word negative, but I'm saying that people do use the word negative, where I'll say if there are people that are difficult for you to be around because of their disposition, it does not have a good vibrational match to your own, the most common advice is given is remove yourself from those people.
Mm-hmm.
Just have them be out of your life. Well, if we're sitting here blessing food to make it palatable when it's not really that good for us, it's the equivalent of really doing our best when we have full carte blanche, whatever. I'm going to look it up. Is it Blanche or Blanc, or I don't know, Mel Blanc. Full Mel Blanc.
Isn't he the one that did the cartoon voices for Looney Tunes?
He is. He is, exactly. And I don't know. That's why I used it, because I know how to pronounce his last name. So if you have full reign and full choice of who you're going to deal with, why fight to try to deal with a person that doesn't jive with you if you don't have to?
Mm-hmm.
Why not just remove yourself, extricate, extra?
Well, wait a second. Well,
why am I trying to use words I can't pronounce today?
Yeah.
I might as well try to Portuguese, take the red pill.
Swahili.
Take the red pill in Portuguese.
Aramaic.
Yeah.
That weird tribe in Africa. Those...
Oh, yeah. No, I thought that was the Kalahari Bushmen that talked like that.
I don't know.
And they're Aboriginal Australian.
Okay. Well, they probably do, too. You know.
Yeah.
I'm sure one person or one set of people are not the only people that have figured out, hey, we can talk long distances by clicking by clicking. Like, oh, yeah. Maybe that's where, hey, we're going to go out there. How far? Oh, about 30 clicks. Oh, yeah. Okay. So
see how you did that?
Yeah. I was like, oh, so we need to have a person every... need 30 people to go this distance. Oh, we know how far you're going now, or else we wouldn't be able to hear the clicks. I don't know. I have no idea if that there's any basis to reality in that, or if I'm just making that up. So, I have no idea.
So, well, anyway, we're so we got kind of fun tangential with that. But I think what I was... The point of that is that I think there is a degree that I think vibrations can affect us, and it's just a matter of yes, I do believe that we can change and influence the vibration of certain things, and I think it's our discretion of if it's a worth our energy to do or if it's not worth our energy to do. One of the examples I would say is like you were talking about being in crowds of people, and you also talked about Jackie and I being at a party for 45 minutes. With people that a lot of people we didn't know, and some we did, Jackie, very few. The thing is I can be in crowds of people. That's not a problem. And I can actually take my empathic ability and kind of temper it. For me, it's what I do is my vibration very easily shifts with the person. And everybody does this to a degree, but I do it to a strong degree where I'm talking to someone, then my whole vibration kind of matches theirs. I tend to match vibrations.
Oh, you're a chameleon.
Kind of a chameleon. But not to the point where I lose myself in it. It's just what the function of it is makes for easier communication between me and the person I'm doing that with. Now, if I'm matching a vibration of someone who is kind of got a rough feel for me, that might be a short-lived conversation. It might be a long conversation. However, whether I'm allowing myself to shift and kind of match their vibrations, or whether I'm keeping myself grounded so that I don't match a vibration of someone that is going to leave me in an unbalanced state, both of those are exhausting as a result of that. So I can do it. I don't mind doing it, but I have social skills and can be in a social environment without a problem. But why I like and need a lot of those downtimes because of that, because it takes a lot of energy.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
On both sides.
It's, I was talking to somebody about this a couple months ago. It's so weird because I'm naturally an introvert, but I have learned to find energy and being an extrovert. And so it's really interesting because when I'm socializing, depending on who I'm socializing with, I feel like I'm on top of the world. I feel like I'm having, you know, some kind of awesome drug just, you know, instantly shunt into my veins. And it's like, oh, this is so much fun. This is so cool. And then all of a sudden, you know, I get back to my happy, safe place, my house. And all of a sudden, it's just like, it feels like I become 150,000 pounds heavier. It's just like whoosh.
You know what, Donald? Let me ask you this. Are you, if you were not as positive, I might ask if you were an energetic vampire.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I say that I had to preface that because I don't believe you're the kind of person that thrives on drama, but I do believe that you are the kind of person that needs to take on energy from other people to kind of refuel.
To an extent. And this is one of the things I've talked to, or this is one of the things I've thought about a lot of times. And I'm still learning this out. You know, you would have thought I would have figured it out by now, but no, this is still every new situation. I learned something new. Apparently, what I seem to be doing when I meet people and when I socialize, especially in groups, is I am projecting an enormous amount of positive energy. And what happens is when I'm expending that amount of positive energy to the people I'm with, it makes them feel good. And so they in turn send me positive energy. And I'm basically getting an energy transfusion from my energy to a mixture of the people I'm with, And it's like that, that variety of different positive energy, it mixes and moves and everything, and it works really well. But it's like eating a huge meal. You know, I get home after socializing for you know, a number of hours, and it's kind of like in a food coma, except this is kind of like an energy coma, where
so you're having to digest all that
energy. Exactly.
Process
it. Exactly. So, it, in a way, it is energy vampirism, but it's also an exchange. It's more of an exchange than just a take.
Well, I only use the term energy vampirism because I wanted to have a point of reference.
Oh, okay.
Because unfortunately, I think energy vampires have a deficit. So what they do is they create an emotional state for another person so that they can drink it up, which is what you're doing. But vampires don't, there's no give for a vampire. You see what I'm saying? So if you had an energy deficit, I don't know how you'd be able to put the positivity out there. So I don't think the vampire qualifies in your case. I was trying to use some kind of reference jumping off point.
Yeah. And you know, with me, it's not a matter of deficiency. I just need variety. Because variety is okay, that would be a deficiency in variety.
I think you need a reflect. I think you need. I like to say that energy and vibrational are synonymous, personally.
Okay.
But I think you are need a vibrational reflection. That's what I think it is. I think you need to re-examine yourself in as you reflected via other people. So when you get home, what you're doing is you're just kind of reassimilating and processing it, because it's all this vibrational energy. It's an energetic energy or vibration, because I said they were synonymous. Thank you, David. You've got all this energy around you that you've collected, that you've, and now you're having to kind of reassimilate it into Donaldness.
I'm glad you reminded me about that, because it is very difficult for me to see myself by myself. When I see myself through other people, I learn so much about myself, if that makes sense. In other words, it's very difficult for me to learn about myself unless I see how other people perceive me and whatnot.
Right. Yeah.
So is that kind of what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah. Good, because I'm glad I got that. I feel like I'm having a therapy session tonight, David.
Because... Oh, well, no, I'm not intending to pick you apart or anything.
No,
like
no,
that.
It's not anything like that. It's just like my brain is backtracking through some of the highlights of what we've talked about already. I'm like, I talked a lot about myself lately. It's like, oh my goodness.
That's okay.
So that's what I'm saying. It feels
Who better to talk about than the person you're spending the most time with?
You know.
You spend more time with yourself than you do with anybody else.
I am my own best friend.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
So, oh, you crack me up. And sometimes I crack myself up because...
There you go.
I am my own best friend, and sometimes I get around with my own best friend's other friends, and they have friends that are their own... anyway, I'm going to stop there before we really start going all over the place. So, I'm curious. It feels like there's so much more that we could go into with... vibration and harmony and disharmony with people and things and food and everything like that. But I think we're getting close to the end of the our time. So what's kind of like your final thoughts, your final ideas, your I can't even, I try to say carte blanche again, and it's like, that's
the... You put a little French accent on that. Listen to you.
It is the carte blanche. I can say it and David cannot. Ha ha ha. He is silly.
Well done. My final thoughts. Well, yeah, that's a tricky one, because we've kind of had some interesting...
Your final thoughts on the episode, not for your live day.
Yeah. No, I my know. It's a big one. I wish I'd taken vibration and energy and made them synonymous a little earlier in the episode, because I think we played back and forth with those a little bit. And I think they can be synonymous, but I think it's when we talk about vibrations, we tend to have a certain sense of what that is versus energy. You know what I mean? When people say, you know, the car runs on this kind of fuel to give it energy. They don't say the car runs on this kind of fuel to give it vibration. Vibration seems like just kind of energy in place rather than energy in motion, as it were. I'm playing with the idea of this, and I'm gonna leave it with this, actually. And I was talking to Jackie about this the other day. And you know what's interesting? I just listened to the Prayer and Magic episode recently.
Oh.
And I liked it. I really did. And I started thinking about, there is a person I know on Facebook had someone very close to her daughter had committed suicide.
Ooh.
And I was thinking about suicides, and I was thinking about not only suicides, but people who have passed on, people on the other side, and how there's a saying that the more people pray for a soul, as it were, the more that soul actually heals. So I was thinking, what are we doing when we're praying for a soul? What is going on here? How is it healing when the person's already passed or on the other side, or if we have life lessons set? What is that actually doing? And then I went into the idea of, what about when we pray, like we talked about in that episode, what about when we pray for someone to be healed and they don't? I pray for this person to recover from this devastating illness, and then all of a sudden the illness takes them and they die anyway, and it almost seems like our prayer didn't work. My belief is that every single prayer works, even though it doesn't work the way you think it's going to. And we kind of alluded to this in this episode. But what happens, I believe, is that it does work, but just not on a level that we know. Something is healing somewhere, somehow along the line. For example, when we prayed for the souls of the children that died in the shooting.
Yeah, Sandy Brook?
Sandy Hook.
Sandy Hook, okay.
In the Sandy Hook shooting, we had those... The 20 children whose lives were lost in that.
Yeah.
We pray for them. I believe that when you pray for a soul, what happens is somewhere, somehow, somebody down the line, maybe 20 years from now, did an act of kindness for another person. And there is such a link, a causal link that goes back to that soul that we prayed for, so that soul's life was not in vain, so that the loss of that life actually created a healing in someone down the road.
Oh.
And that somebody down the road validated the existence of that person and made their life worthwhile. So the short of it is, I think that when we pray, we're validating the existence of that person. And to validate that existence of that person is to celebrate the love that they are actually created from. And I think when we talked about blessing our food, for example, I think that's what we're doing. We're validating that presence of that food. And what we do is we're creating a more vibrant environment for more food to grow to sustain us and other people healthier. I think that's what, to answer your question, that's what I think that blessing your food does.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's okay. So 20 years from now, somebody will do something that will validate the food we eat?
Well, that's a kind of a one-step way of looking at it. There's a million things that could happen. For example, what if you had like a quarter of an acre of land where food was growing?
Okay.
And you blessed that food, and all that did was change. Somehow, it changed the weather enough to where, when there is a severe drought, maybe that one patch was able to survive that severe drought enough to be able to sustain other people and feed those other people, which eventually, of course, you know, I think it's a big collective. One thing does another that does another. It's like a Rube Goldberg machine that doesn't have a start to finish. It's like everything is so interconnected that the whole thing kind of raises and grows and vibrates and creates light at once.
Okay. I'm gonna have to chew on that for a little while. That's some very interesting metaphysical mental exercise there.
Yeah, it is. I have a whole weight room in my head, basically, for metaphysical exercises.
Oh yeah, I used to, but I've slimmed it down a little bit.
Oh yeah, you ebb and flow with the season.
Oh yeah, exactly. Well, I actually like that. I think there's very little that I could add to that other than with just energy. And I think there is a difference between energy and vibration. And I'm going to say that vibration is kind of the result of the energy applied to it or applied to an object. Oh. Kind of like the vibration of gasoline or the energy of gasoline is used to explode and cause energy in an engine, but that engine goes creates vibration by creating a certain tone where it works by creating that vibration of, you know, that, well, that tone. For the people that are really car smart, they can hear an engine turn on, and the way that it turns on, they can say, oh, that's this car, and it has a, that's a four-cylinder or a six-cylinder or, you know, eight-cylinder, and they just from hearing the ignition and it turning on. And so the energy, I believe, is gasoline exploding into the combustion engine, and the result of that is the vibration. Kind of like we are alive, our consciousness has thoughts and emotions and ideas. That's the energy of ourselves. But that creates a vibration in our aura and in ourselves that when we come in contact with somebody else or something else, it's either it's varying degrees of harmony or disharmony.
Ooh, you know what, Donald?
Yeah.
I'm glad you used that car analogy because of what you just said about the varying degrees of harmony or disharmony based on the vibration we create from the energy that we exude. Uh-huh. Gasoline is extremely inefficient as far as creating the vibration of... If you say the gasoline, the function of the gasoline is to move your car forward, right? Mm-hmm. To make your wheels turn. About a fifth of the energy created from the gasoline explosion actually turns your wheels. So if we think about it, how often are we using our energy to kind of to a certain vibrational effect in an inefficient manner because our vibrational frequencies are too dissonant?
Oh,
I love the fact that you use that analogy, Donald, because it's great. It illustrates that very well.
I like that topic, which is different, kind of different from what we have talked about this episode, but still kind of on the same in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, we'll have to delve into that one for sure.
Definitely. Definitely for sure. Anyway, so David and I would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to this episode. If this is your first episode that you've heard from us, we thank you for taking a shot and we hope you've enjoyed it. If you're a longtime listener, we definitely thank you for continuing to peer into the brains and conversations that David and I have, and hope that we keep you entertained and bring you a little something to, you know, expand your mind a little bit.
Yes, absolutely. And if you want more information on the things that we talked about, we have links in our show notes that point you to either past episodes or different things online on the internet that really kind of bring a greater point or a greater vibration, as it were, to the things that we talked about. I had to do that.
Oh, yeah, kind of course.
And where can you do that? You can do that at TakeTheRedPillPodcast.com for people who don't like to type as much, TTRPPodcast.com. You can see us on Facebook. Type in TTRP Podcast at the end of the Facebook address. And you can also go straight to iTunes where you can download individual episodes or you can subscribe to us en masse. And in all of those venues, there are places where you can click and leave us feedback or send us messages. We love it.
Awesome. Awesome. So for Take the Red Pill, I am Donald Dalton, wishing you to enjoy the awesomeness that is your energy.
And I'm David Deere. Keep raising your vibration to create more light.